We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
The Heart of David is back. Not only do we have the old classic selection, but we got a new drop called Pray for Your Friends. The number one important thing God wants us to do is love thy God with all of your heart. But the second one is love thy neighbor. The best way that you could love them is to pray for them. This is my new favorite t-shirt. Church boy right here. And look at the back. Very clean, very nice. I'm not gonna lie, I never really wear like white or cream style hoodies, but this is just a vibe, dude. This is like, hey, how you doing? I like you. And I know you like me because I look good. If you liked any of these options, make sure you guys go to theheartofdavid.co or click the link in my description. I love you guys. Make sure you get it before it's too late and it's gone. And like the sun, it's going away. Hurry up.
George in the cage? Just blood.
My face up against... Come on! I'm deep with my brothers! I'm podcasting!
So what's your review of the UFC 300?
So high up in the air... Bro, oh, like, yes, bro, I couldn't believe that. Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney.
If you had to put your money on one person.
He's not even walking. He's like floating to the octagon. I enrolled myself into jiu-jitsu again. One time I like pinched him this way and then he just squeezes just a little bit. It was right here and I was like, oh, he could crack my ribs right now.
Really? I'm just playing. I don't fight. I do not
pray. I only go the way of Mr. Yahweh. It's not often I sit down with somebody and they say something that makes me think.
Bro, this was great.
I love you guys.
But you give me something to think about. My own damn
way. I had a lot of fun on this interview.
And just like that, we're back in the lounge, baby.
Home sweet home.
Guys, we did a soft launch. So wait, hold on. Let me just...
It's a hard launch if you keep lighting that like that because you look so cool, like hard, you know?
I'm going to need you to stop doing that.
That's not what you meant.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. I know a lot of you guys right now, as we speak, are getting mad that I'm lighting the cigar. And you guys are like, you're setting a bad example. No. My father set the bad example. Mm. I never was into cigars. So I want you guys to write down a comment. Shame on George's daddy.
Oh, stop it.
Shame on George's daddy for opening up such a chic, elegant, beautiful. How dare you go
just
from a liquor store.
Just run all the other competition out of town. How dare he?
How dare you, dad? Keep doing well even when you're older. You want to keep working instead of retiring. How dare you? No, I'm very proud of my dad. We did a soft launch. Soft launch is like we're opened and we're getting it going. The wheels are being greased and customers are coming in. But I gotta tell you guys something. People that watch the show started coming in, and these people that like cigars and they're like just chill and relaxed. Bell is legitimately a witness that there'd be dudes. I guess I could say their name. It was Zach and Arthur. I'm not gonna say their last name, but there was these two gentlemen that came in. Bro, they're just sitting here. My dad, I come through the cigar lounge, and my dad would always tell me, like, hey, these guys came from you. Go say hello. Okay. So I go, and I usually say, hey, how you doing? I take pictures. I chill. I vibe with them, which I really do like because it's cool. You know, they're coming into my family business.
It's amazing.
But, dude, tell me why I'm starting to make friends. I'm, like, legit making friends. I was outside just dying of laughter with these guys. I'm hanging out. We're smoking a cigar. They're telling us about their drinks that they like. They're ordering drinks. We're just vibing. And I'm like, this is, like, kind of weird. It feels like a meetup, but then also, like, it's not.
You were reminiscing with them. You brought them in the back. I look back, and I'm like, where's Georgie? And he's in the back, and he's showing them where he used to play as a kid. He's like, yeah, this is where I had my dog. Like, I can already know.
Dog, like, legit, I was giving them things that I haven't even told anybody but you guys. They were like, no way, that's how it is? And I go, yeah, you wouldn't believe. And then the whole time I was literally like, I'm not even exaggerating. The whole time I was talking, I was like, am I talking a little too much? I was like, am I giving out a little bit too much tea? But it was, it's been an amazing, you know, like week that this has been opened.
For new listeners, where is this?
Yeah, for those of you guys that don't know where this place is at, it's on 24th Street in Osborne. In Arizona.
Great cross streets. Really good cross streets.
Anyway, so I just said all that to just let you guys know that I really appreciate the people that came in. They hung out. They're relaxing. They're having a good time. And it's
community,
just
community, man.
It's just, it really is, bro. And I'm trying to build that. I'm trying to build this. Like, I think ever since I got into social media, I stopped being social and I have no community. And like,
hey man, you're always social. You're always social, bro.
No, but not at the extent that my father is. My dad is at a whole different level. You know what I mean? And I just talked about this with my neighbor. Because he'll go, like, if somebody's garage is open, like, in the middle of the night, he'll come and knock on the door. He'll be like, your garage is open. And also, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's just chit-chatting. But it's late at night. I'm like, Dad, dude, like, leave people alone. And yeah. I keep trying to program my father to be the man that I hate these other men becoming. Mm. How weird is that? And I literally stopped myself and I said, you know what? Shame on myself. I go, Dad, you continue to do what you're doing. Like, you continue to help your neighbor, even if it's at a weird time. You talk to the people for a very long time. Like, you keep doing you. Don't listen to your son. He's an idiot.
Because it's what makes your dad special. Like, those traits about him. And that's why he's so personable with people. And then when you were talking to your neighbor, you found out that she's like, no, I love it. Like, I love it so much. Like, he's the best. I love it when he comes by.
She said this exactly. She goes, when I'm around him, she goes, we call him our neighborhood watch. We feel safe and protected. Because he cares.
Yeah.
And he goes that extra mile to be loving to the people around him. Speaking of loving, though, the last episode that we have was with Cliff.
Yeah, Cliff and Stuart.
Bro.
Usually sequels usually take a dip.
Really?
That one didn't.
Nah, I knew it wasn't going to. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it's not like a movie, right? A movie, it's like you watch a movie and you're like, man, that was really, really good. But it was like a first time type of thing. And that now when you reintroduce these characters, it's really hard.
They have to tell the same story, but differently.
Yeah, like Hangover 2. It was still good, but Hangover 1 was still better. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, it's not a shot. But I think with podcasting, and this is kind of interesting. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's super saturated. You shouldn't do podcasting. I actually go against that philosophy, because even if your podcast isn't successful or isn't going anywhere, having a conversation with interesting people and getting yourself to sit in front of a camera and then you kind of watch how you're speaking to people, it changes you. It changes the way you behave, the way you're structured. You actually start catching mistakes that your neighbors will see about you, but they won't say anything to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, do I talk too much or am I interrupting people? And then you read comments and sure enough, they'll let you know you are talking a lot and you need to shut up.
You have a lot of work to do.
Thank you, Reed. You know, it's so funny. When I posted this episode with Cliff, I told him, like, any feedback? He goes, yes. Always something we could work on. Not a bad thing. Always something we could work
on. Wait, Cliff said this?
No, Reed. Reed. Oh, my God. If Cliff said this, I would die.
That's why.
No, he just, like, but Reed is like a little league coach to me. And he goes, come here, champ. You did great. You went in there. You gave it your all. But you know what we could do? We could always work on this. Not just you.
There's always room for improvement.
All of us. We could just talk less. And when we want to
No.
Listen,
it's not even talking less. It's not even talking less. It's just like getting to your point quicker a little bit. But like you can see in your eyes you getting to your points that you want to make, and you can see yourself discovering new things as you're saying it, and you get excited.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
it's what makes you you.
Yeah, but also it's like I'm here to entertain, right?
Yes.
And if I'm dragging it and it's like, all right, buddy, get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when I have conversations with people and they don't know how to get to the point. Mm-hmm. So like watching people say that about me drove me crazy. I was like, okay, I gotta fix this. But there was something in that episode that I never wanted to cut, but I definitely kept calling Reed like every 5 minutes, like, bro, should we leave this in?
Mm-hmm.
Should we leave this in? Mm-hmm. Should we leave this in? Should we not leave this in?
And I'm exporting, George. Are we leaving it in or not?
It was when I kind of started breaking down on camera. And it was like the first time in my life I've ever felt like that. When I see people cry on camera, it cringes me out, bro. It cringes me out. That's the only, and in so many ways, it could be, if it's real, like, for example, I'll show you one that's real. When somebody that's a soldier comes home, forget about it. Leave me alone. I'll sit in my room watching these crying all day.
Yeah.
When I see somebody look at their father and they miss them and they grab them, oh, tears all day. But I kept watching myself. And the one thing that was scary was like, dude, I hope nobody thinks I'm like acting here. Because this is the most vulnerable side of my heart I've ever shown in my life. And the only reason I was going to take it out was respect for my God. I didn't want it to look like I'm cheesy or I'm trying too hard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like these like catch my brain a lot. And I was like, no, I'm just going to let it rip. Like I pray to God that if it's something I need to learn from, I'll learn from it. But I'd rather me suffer and learn then take away something that I think God may want somebody to see, and mm-hmm. it's a takeaway from them. So I put it out there, bro, and I can't tell you how much I've cried reading comments and emails.
Really?
And, oh, bro.
I told you couldn't cut it. I was like, you can't take that away. You can't.
It changed my life. Like, when I was like, oh, dude, like, I really could climb out of the darkest part of my heart and show it. And if it's authentic and it's real, somebody will acknowledge that it's real. And watching these reposts and people also confessing, it only strengthened me to be like, wait a second, look how many people think the way that I'm thinking, bro. Like, and thank God, one, I did call Cliff and I cried and I asked him for help. Because if I would have never asked him for help, I would have never got out of that hole myself, right? So it's a blessing that I got Cliff next to me. But then on the other hand, it's like talking about it is like a whole different thing. And I read a comment and it said, thank God that George could speak what I cannot even come out of my head. And I was like, dude, I guess that's my talent of like just spilling out. And then I'm like, oh, I maybe shouldn't have said that. Like that, it works for me.
You think later.
It works for me in this type of situation.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who watched that and had like really nice feedbacks to say. And you guys gave me so much strength to step up here and like really demonstrate confidence in speaking about what I need to be speaking about.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you for leaving that in.
Yeah, because it's vulnerable.
That was
terrifying.
Dude, that was because being behind the cameras, and I've every single episode I've seen from behind the cameras, and I'm checking on settings and stuff, make sure everything's running smoothly. But then I always watch the podcast multiple times after because I have to edit it. And I remember editing it in my bed, and I was like, a tear rolled down my cheek, and I was like, dude, this is so heavy. I remembered it being like really different and really commendable in the moment when it happened, but like being in my room with like nothing going on and just listening to the conversation was like, dude, that was powerful.
Do you know that reason you told me was the reason I kept playing in my head to keep it?
Mm-hmm.
So that like, I would say the devil was just messing with me. He's like, no, get rid of this. This is like, you're too much. You're talking about Jesus too much. Just blah, blah, blah. You're pushing people away. So I was literally in my head and in my room and I was like, yo, like I need to cut this. Like I need to cut this. And then you told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, if I could get somebody like Reed
mm-hmm.
to really just look at it and be like, wow, like that actually made me choke up. And I know how we discuss how things are very like, it's very hard to have like something like that make you choke up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, cool. And like, there's so many Reeds out there. And that's when I came up with the idea. I'm like, okay, well, if this is going to help a Reed but hurt me, then like, I have to submit and just be like, okay, a learning curve. So if people comment, I got to learn and mm-hmm. adjust the same way that I have with Jordan Peterson. Like, bro, like Reed would always make jokes. He goes, man, that guy's traumatized. That traumatized me. When I read those comments and I saw it and I saw my behavior, bro, it traumatized me.
You have like PTSD from
it. Oh, yeah. Mad. It affected how I talked to people afterwards. And then I had to like kind of like tell myself like, dude, chill out. Like, it's okay to make a mistake. Like, mm-hmm. it's fine.
Absolutely.
So yeah, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, and with the just one last thing on that crying part and showing that part of yourself, the subject matter and what you're talking about is so powerful. But even taking that away, just watching somebody show that side of their heart, regardless of what they're talking about, is so powerful and so good to show, I think. Just showing that you care about something so much and just bringing light to it, regardless of what it's about, is commendable.
Thank you, dude. I'm trying to push myself and be better every day. Mm-hmm. And I did pick up one thing recently that I used to pick up, and it was jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I enrolled myself into jiu-jitsu again. When I was younger, I did jiu-jitsu, but for a different reason. I got made fun of in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to put this energy into jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and all that stuff. So I learned here, and I kind of walked away from it, right? Because as I grew up, I was like, dude, if I'm not going to take this seriously, this could really damage me or hurt me. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to focus on like, you know, dancing, singing, things that I could add these attributes to my field. Long story short, I grow up. I'm 31 years old. I'm a little tubby now. I'm gaining weight. And I'm like, bro, I used to be so shredded when I used to do mixed martial arts. I was lean.
That's what made you so lean?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, you, bro, like, it's... And on top of that, it's, like, so much fun, bro. If you enjoy it, it's not even a workout, but you're drenched in sweat.
It's a sport.
Reed, I go. Nicest guys, okay? I'm in there. I'm having a great time.
I dropped him off like a little boy going to his first day of class.
You did. And on top of that, what's so cute.
Did she pack you a lunch?
No.
He was only there for an hour.
But the kid that I went to high school with, he was in my ceramics class. He was in there. and I haven't seen him since high school. So it was like, it really did feel like I was a kid again. And I was sitting there like, what's up? So we go in there, dude. And for like, I'm not exaggerating, like an hour of the classes. Dude, there's this thing that they're like, get by, and you have to like, whatever the sensei's right here, and all these people that have like black belts, and you have to get by them. So like, it's, you either pass and you have to go back in the line. So like, if you lose, you go back into that line. Long story short,
like you fight them.
Yes, basically you're trying, not like fist fighting, but you're in jiu-jitsu, you're trying to,
yeah,
like get them on their back, or you're trying
get them
to pass
to submit
them.
Or
no, just pass them. Oh, okay. But you could make them submit if you could, but yeah, there's no way I'm making these guys.
That is like the final round, you know, in Mario. Yeah.
These guys' thighs are just insane. Like one time I like pinched him this way, and then he just squeezes that just a little bit, and it was right here, and I was like, oh, he could crack my ribs right now. Like if really? He really wanted to, he could crack my ribs. So I go back and I'm having a great time. Class ends and I'm like, I still want. Like, look at me. I'm sweaty. I'm gonna melt this fat off of me. This is awesome, bro. I go after class. I'm wrestling with the instructor. He's having a good time. He's tossing me around. I'm tossing him around. Obviously, he's letting me toss him around. He's not like
just a bunch of men getting sweaty, tossing each other around. I'm into it, bro.
Reed, I looked at him confidently. I looked at him and I go, I'll see you tomorrow, buddy. He goes, tomorrow. I go, tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. It's been a week and a half. It's been a week and
a
half.
Did you just get done getting being sore?
Bro, like the next day I woke up and I was like, no, dude. I woke up and I immediately was like, oh no, something's wrong. Like my whole body really hurts. And all I kept thinking about is like, I know my body, you know? When I work out, usually the next day isn't supposed to be that bad. It's the day after. Like yeah, with legs, there's always a joke I did. Oh, I go, my legs are dead today, but tomorrow they're non-existent because the next day it's going to be worse.
So, yeah.
So I text the guy, hey man,
something's
I
wrong.
Don't feel good. And he texts me, ibuprofen, 2 capsules every 6 hours. Doesn't even answer. Like, doesn't
he prescribed you?
Yeah, he doesn't even know what I just said. Hey, man, yeah. I don't feel good, and he literally knew exactly what I was talking about. And so I was like, okay, regardless, I was like, I would go, I'm not gonna show up today, but I'll come tomorrow. It's been a week and a half, bro. I just got into the place where I could get out of bed or walk around without excruciating pain, like. Bro, it felt like I was in a terrible car accident. Like a terrible, my neck, I couldn't even move it like this because the guys, like, they're putting you in clinches and stuff. And in the moment, you're like, haha, I could almost pass out, but I'm here. And your adrenaline's rushing. The next day, my 31-year-old ass really showed its age. Yeah. Because when I was a kid, that didn't happen, bro. I was right back into it. This one is like, dude, like, I'm gonna get back into it and it's gonna take me some time.
Mm-hmm. Dude, if you did jiu-jitsu once a week, and then in between that, you did like Tai Bo or whatever else, like little exercises in between. You know what I mean?
Let's go, Bell.
You'd be shredded.
You know, no, I want to get back into it at least 3 to 5 times a week. Like, I want to really take it seriously.
What did you just do? 3 to 5 times three a time, week?
Yeah, because I don't want to, if I want to do something, I want to do it right. And I want to learn the sport and I want to be really, really like cemented into the foundation of this sport, because like I love basketball. I love watching basketball. I mean, I don't love watching basketball. I love playing basketball. I don't love watching basketball.
Right, right.
But I love, this is like the first sport where I love doing it and love watching it. And speaking of watching it, I want to start talking about the UFC a little bit more on this podcast. The only reason I did it is because I'm super uneducated. I am super uneducated. Don't know how to pronounce these fighters' names. Don't know where they're from. I like to watch.
It's intimidating.
Well, it's just like, this is like the broest thing you could get involved in. And I just don't want to piss off that fan base. I say something, go, all right, buddy, I know where you train. I'm going to come to your place. I'm like,
you know, and I feel like it's so technical. I feel like if you get the wrong term, they're like, oh, bro, you don't even know what you're talking about. You said the wrong thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so specific.
But I'm going to do it. And then, God willing, one day I'll be very, very good at this. And people would care about what
I said. So what's
your
review of the UFC 300, then?
Dude,
let's get into it.
Okay, so here's the thing, bro. My reviews might not be the reviews that you guys are looking for, right? I'm not going to be like, you put them in a clinch here. I'm just going to talk about how I felt about these people, okay?
Okay.
So I actually wrote down some notes.
Mm.
Please.
I have to say, I really enjoyed in the UFC 300 when they did the montage of the highlights. That was very entertaining.
Oh, yes, because they were showing everything up until the 300.
Yeah, like crazy moments.
So like if that. You guys are not into the UFC 300, the UFC just did their 300th event, and Dana White did an incredible job. Shout out to him. Shout out to the fighters. It was a
Did you see that he raised the fighter bonus, I think it was, from 50,000 to 300,000?
Yes.
Before it?
Let's go!
Which is like the dopest thing you can do to like increase incentive and make them give it everything they got.
Yeah, he did it like, bro, like it was like a, I felt like it was just such a moment.
Right? Yeah.
What do you want? Done. And everybody goes crazy.
The thing I love about the UFC is it's like Dana, and he could just do whatever the fuck he wants. Mm-hmm. With sports and stuff, it just feels so political, and like there's such a bureaucracy to it, and just the things have to happen a certain way. He can go, you know what? I'm going to pay you $300,000 this time. And it was like at a press conference. It was just like, should we raise it? Okay, we'll raise it. 300,000. Like, it's so dope.
Also, it's very real. Like all the fighters speak from their heart. Yeah. The owners speak from their heart. Like, for me, like the NFL, it's like, play by the rules or you're not playing with us.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And then they're like, for him to say, I don't put a leash on my fighters. They do whatever they do. Like, we need more people like Dana White running and being in charge. Now, I know Jake's probably watching this. Is like, shut up, man. No, but I do. I'm a fan of Dana White and how he does his business. Now, mind you, is there some stuff to improve? I don't know. I'm not involved. I don't even know how to pronounce this shit. But let's talk about, I want to talk about Charles Oliveira.
Oh, you did
can
not.
Can I just put you on blast?
I don't even know his
guys,
name.
If
There's
you guys
no
keep interrupting
right.
me on this thing, I'm already not being looked at seriously, dude. You're making me look really bad here.
Okay, then I won't say what I was going to say.
What are you going to say? Go.
That, because you said, you're like, I don't even know how to say these names. And I look over earlier and he's on YouTube. You know, when you have the short
no,
video.
No, the pronunciation? Oliveira.
It wasn't for him. It was for Ahmed. I have it right here, actually.
Oh, yeah? Did you learn from the video?
No. I keep forgetting. It's hard to pronounce his last name. Hold on.
It's okay. I thought it was super cute.
Arman Sarukyan.
Arman Sarukyan.
Now you say it.
Arman Sarukyan.
Very good.
But I like the way he says it. It's so nice. Arman
Let's
Sarukyan and Charles Oliveira. Oliveira. Oliveira.
It's probably just Oliveira.
Immediately, somebody watching this is like, I'm not listening to it.
We just lost subscribers, yeah.
Okay. I love how different they came out. This fight between these two gentlemen from the beginning was having me giggle, like insanely giggle.
At what point in the event was this? Is this like a main card?
There's multiple main cards, and this is one of the main cards.
Okay. Mm.
And so Arman, the one that I can barely pronounce his last name.
Let's go.
When he comes out, bro, he is ready for this fight. In fact, he's not even waiting until he gets to the octagon. He's fighting fans. Just swings at somebody. He's going like this, punking them out. He's just getting... I'm like, this guy's an animal. Like, he is ready to kill. Other guy, he's just playing violins. He's like, he's not even walking. He's like floating to the octagon. Bro... The Arman sees his people, like, goodbye. And then he gets
so mad.
His thing. And then Charles, the way he says goodbye, he's giving his people hugs like he's about to go to war. You might never see him again. Just, okay, goodbye.
No, and a big kiss on the cheek. Mwah. Big kiss on everybody. It was
goodbye.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Goodbye. Hey. Goodbye. The first round is incredible. I thought Charles was going to win it. He got him in a clinch. The dude looks like he's about to pass out. Somehow breaks away. So this is why I brought up that I'm doing jiu-jitsu again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what happens is, as men, we look at this, I'm like, I could get out of that, right? Come on, dude. You get paid all this big bucks. You can't get out of that.
Yeah.
Listen, I had some random dude in Arizona that is nowhere near the UFC, okay? Did this arm pinch thing on me. I thought my arm was gone forever. Watching these guys get out of it now, I respected it.
Trying to kill each other.
So much more. Watching their positioning. The second round, Charles tried to get out, and he put his foot right here, and it slides, and it kicks the dude in the face. And it's an illegal hit. So they separate them. Now I'm looking at this being like, bro, imagine this is a huge event, 300. You accidentally do an illegal kick on the dude's face. and then they have to separate you, discuss this. What's going on in your mind at this point? Like, for me, I would feel so uncomfortable that, like, I just accidentally illegally hit this guy. Now it's going to make me look like I'm a cheater. So many things emotionally would go through my head.
You have to stay in your primal state of mind. Yeah.
They just dap each other up, and they go right back into it. And, bro, Armand, Joe Rogan goes, Armand's not this type of person you should want to get on the ground with. He really grounds and pounds. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that looks like grounds and pounds. And then all of a sudden, just douche, douche, douche with the elbow, just busting this face open. And I'm like, oh, God, like that's the ground and pounds you have to worry about. They get out of that. Third round, again, last round, Charles gets him in a headlock. Almost, I think he knocks out. It literally looks like he passes out and then comes back into life. And passes out and then comes back to life.
He respawns?
I think he does, dude. And then he gets up and he won. He won. I don't know how he won, but he won. And I was just like, that's exciting. I was like, nothing could get better than this.
Can you imagine being this, like, the wife of one of these guys?
No.
Can you imagine George in the cage? Just
no.
Eyes, just blood.
Just my face up against the cage. Come out! I deeply regret this! I'm just podcasting!
Dude, you never know what's gonna happen, and like as a spouse, you're just watching your loved one like potentially either be like, you know, injured for life, possibly die. Like it's insane. But also too, like talking about the fact that they have to stop. You know, it's crazy. Even when the bell goes ding ding, and they're in the middle of being like pow 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 pow, and it's like ding ding, and they're like, oh, they have to stop. And you were just like with all your might and anger, and then you just have to be like, okay. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. That's insane.
I thought that was great. And then the Max Holloway fight comes on. Okay, now. If you watched the UFC 300, I think he is the face of UFC 300. When I close my eyes and I see UFC 300, I think of Max.
Oh.
This guy bodied Justin every round. Every round on a very special day. This is not one you want to take chances with. This is UFC 300, something that everybody's going to go back and look back at.
Yeah.
This is something that's going to be in history books, right? When it comes to the UFC, all rounds are his. But at the end, he goes, no, let's finish this right here, right here. You really want to chance that, bro? You want a chance that you just, everybody knows here at home on their phones. Everybody knows you just took this. But you're like, nah, I want to settle this here. And Justin isn't one to take it, like, easy on. Like, this guy could knock you out at any given second. Do you know, Reed, what time he landed the last punch and his body folded like a chair and hit the ground?
Last second.
0.01. That is a movie. That is a movie. For you to win all, like, no, no, no. Let's finish this right here like men. And then, bro, like... It set the bar so high that, like, when I see UFC fighters and they win and now they're just trying to box around for time, I'll just remember that there's some dogs out there that be like, no, we're going to finish
this right here. Raising the bar.
Right here. And then I'm like, okay, can't get better than this. This is where it is. The last fight of the night. First round knockout.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Pereira. This is how my POV went it. When the ref was like trying to get in between because something happened, and Alex is like, no, not right now.
Oh, didn't he like accidentally kick him in the nuts or something?
Yeah, but then he went like this. He goes, no, no, don't worry about it. How I pictured it, this guy comes out with feathers on his head, makeup like he's a warrior.
Yeah.
And he does this bow and arrow thing. Bro, that ain't a joke with him. I don't think that's a joke with him, because when he was locked in, it's like a warrior / hunter.
Mm-hmm. Predator.
Yes, and he got locked in on his prey. And this, whatever animal tried to get involved, he goes, no, 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 animal. Not now, animal. I must devour here.
Yeah, because he just got hurt. That would have hurt and put you out of the zone. He didn't care.
Bro, he's just, like, it's okay. No, no, no. And he's out. Bro, like, again, bro, like, it's, I respect this sport so much. It's not because you could be put through hell. Let's put it this way. There's other sports that could put you through hell. Rugby could put you through hell. That's a dangerous sport. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Running puts me through hell.
Yeah.
Running puts me through hell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's sports that could put you through hell. Football. It's dangerous. Okay. But it's like chess with your mind. It's not only so much mental strength to like get over like your leg that's just bruised up from the dude busting you up, or your head's busted up, your eye might be swollen, but you're still in a lot of pain, but you're calculating, okay, this guy's going to move here, which means this move would be appropriate for here. When I was in class, they were like, when you do this move, it's only good, but never do this move if you're in this position. It could be. So it's literally like chess. It's math. You have to calculate where your opponent's going to go.
It's instinct.
Bro, when I watched him go, no, not right now, it immediately struck fear into me, because I'm like, man, there's some dudes out there that not know what I'm about to do, but they know the next two moves I'm about to do, and mm-hmm. they already plan to devour me there.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, bro. And it's making me grow so much love for this sport, bro.
Sorry, I didn't want to. I cut you off for a second there. But
that's it. You're coming to jiu-jitsu next. You're coming with me. I got to humble you. Hard cut. 2 weeks. Oh, Bell's really good. Bro. No,
we play. We play
next time next week, honey.
Armad. I hope I'm saying his name right. But his flexibility, bro. You guys didn't watch his fight. But he struck his leg so high up in the air and came down and just...
Bro, oh, like, yes,
bro, I couldn't believe that. I don't know what I would do if somebody's toes just... I would be so disrespected. I would have been like, how did you get your feet up there?
Super flexible.
And he brought them down so quick. And that, by the way, that's the guy who's fighting the crowd. He's the fight.
Really?
Oh, that was the... he was the angry guy.
He was the angry guy.
Can you do it one more time?
Just...
Ow, dude, that's so...
Where did that come
doesn't
from?
Even know it's the same guy.
Who's the sand?
I couldn't believe that. I watched that. I was just like, I replayed that so many times. I was like, this guy could do the splits easily. He did it in the air.
Oh, 100%.
Sorry, I was so caught up.
But speaking though of the knockout from the other guy, which was who did the knockout?
Don't ask me. I'm reading names off my phone. Well, which one are you talking
the
about?
The last fight with the knockout.
Oh, Alex Pereira.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Peoria.
Peoria?
That's Arizona. That's a place in Arizona. I'm pretty sure Peoria is where Sean O'Malley lives.
Well, don't give out his location.
It's a city.
Okay. So, anyways, but in that knockout, though, you know what? I wonder if, because he told the ref, no, one sec, the other guy was like, whoa, like he didn't even care that I kicked him in the balls. Like he's not, that probably threw him off for a second. And I feel like that almost gave the other guy that extra leverage to really get him. And that's when he knocked him out. Cause the other guy was probably off his game a little bit. Cause he's probably so shocked that he didn't care. And he was just like, no, it's fine.
He thought he was about to get in trouble.
Yeah.
While watching you.
So he was still thinking about that.
Watching you talk about the UFC just made me realize what I'm going to look like talking about the UFC.
That's so mean. No,
hold on.
He's insulting himself more than he's insulting you.
First of all, you didn't even let me get to where I was going to go.
Go ahead.
You should be a little bit more flexible like Armad. Okay? And second, that was a terrible joke.
No, that's great. We're leaving that in.
Okay, cool. And second, I was about to say we should do this together, where we could talk about it from your perspective and my perspective. But now,
that's what I was just doing.
I don't want to do it with you anymore. I don't want to do it with you anymore.
You don't want to do it anymore?
That's
what I was just doing. I was talking about it with you. You told me I looked stupid.
I said you look like me.
Which
so you think I look stupid?
Okay, tell me how you
look like I look stupid?
Tell me.
You think I look stupid because I just said you look like me.
Because I know nothing about the UFC. And I just, because you said looking at you shows me.
My love, we don't know anything about the UFC.
Of course I don't know. I'm just telling you.
We should own it. That way one day when...
Of course I don't know nothing about the UFC.
Babe, you're making it real. I don't know how much more to go about this.
In that same interaction between that fight, I also saw a clip and it like zooms in on his foot. And when he, after he pushes off the ref, he's like, no, it's fine. He steps on his opponent's foot a little bit and like locks him down for a second right before he delivers the KO.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, just the amount of things that are happening at every second is so crazy.
Yeah,
he like, he moves forward and steps on his foot.
So he can't get away.
Can you do
so
that?
So he can't fully.
Is that
see,
illegal?
These are he things you're anything. Asking that are great questions. Don't know. But I think it is because one time this guy was locked up on the stage and the stage, oh, my brain.
You just can't like grab gloves or shorts or anything, but any part of your body, fair game.
He was up the thing and he had no move and he just looked down. He just started stomping the guy's toes.
No way.
Bro, that must hurt.
Stomping, that they're trying to hurt each other, but him like putting his foot on his foot, so he's like, don't move, and then, you know what I mean? Like,
by the way, I like the way she punches. She punches like Bruce Lee or like Ip Man. She's like, what the?
No, you know what? You know what?
Yeah.
I have a good punch. Like,
no, me and Belle wrestle, bro. We fight.
Okay, let's
fight.
Keep it PG, guys.
And she, no, we do.
It's a family friendly podcast.
She's good. She's good. We like do like little like tap stuff. I swear, like, we do it every night. That one day, like, she's gonna get in a fight, God forbid, and she's gonna light this girl up because of how many times we actually.
No, I think I'm getting better because of that.
My girlfriend has.
George, I swear.
I'm gonna pee my pants.
What? I'm so serious. We do it so much. Like, we try and get each other. And, you know, when I work out, I do these certain boxing moves. But they're just, like, good workout moves. But the other day, I was on the treadmill, and I always, like, I like to do arm workouts while I'm walking uphill. And then I was just, like, getting these punches. And, dude, I feel like I have a really, really strong, fast punch.
That's lightning quick.
It might not look like a good punch right now.
Are you punching right now? I missed it. It was so fast.
It was so fast.
Jesus. Have you ever thought about getting into women's UFC?
We did. No. We did talk about it for a second. And then I was like, nah, I love your face.
You were talking about, you were like, oh, what if you...
It was actually a discussion for a second.
Yeah, no.
I was thinking about signing her up. I was like, Belle, do you want to do it?
Signing her up?
Yeah,
it's like, what if it's the UFC,
UFC, but like... But I like, we do things together. We ride bikes together. We do stuff together. We do all the stuff together. And I thought it would be smart because I'm going to put my daughters into self-defense class.
Yes.
So I was like, maybe Belle should learn. And
I'm going to learn today. No. That's the way you said it. Just maybe. Go on.
No, I just think also, you know what it is? Two reasons why. I think it's not something for you. It does make your face a little swollen, and like, and you use your face for acting and stuff like that. I don't see.
I won't do it for the sole reason of this. You're sweating. I'm sweating. Our bodies are rubbing each other's sweat off of each other. My skin will not touch somebody else's sweaty body. That's too much work. For my skincare. Also, I'm sorry.
For our relationship, I think it's healthy that I find something that I do alone, because I realize I don't do anything alone.
Definitely.
I don't do anything alone. And so when I was there with guys and I was just like either talking shit or being slammed really hard on the mat, I was like, man, how happy was I when I left?
Yeah, you're so happy.
Like,
I picked them up.
I was like, Belle, men were throwing me around. I've never had such a good time in my life.
I was a little worried.
A little jealous. Were you jealous?
No.
Bro.
I got over it.
The first thing, Belle, because there was this girl, and she goes, are you, what? Well, I could talk about all the things that you talk about, but I can't talk about what you talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I won't say it. Well, I thought it was funny, and I think a lot of girls are like, resemble this. Like, I came out, and she was like, she wrestles with you? And I was like...
I mean, you guys
watched
the...
That's totally fair. Totally fair.
Okay, thank you.
Any girl would completely relate to that.
You guys watched the UFC. Hey, so apart from the violence, you guys see how you are like this on top of one another. I think it's pretty normal for me to be like, hey, fiance.
Totally.
You're telling me you're doing that with girls? Like, I think that's so... Why are they putting guys and girls together to do jiu-jitsu together?
But I think it's funnier from my perspective is because... And I'm being so serious. I've literally been around every single sort type of model, from like classy model to like the ratchetest ghetto model, and never once have Belle ever even blinked in that direction. Never once showed me any types of form of signs of like, what is she saying or doing? Never. Like, this girl walks around like, I dare you to mess up and I'm out. So I get in the car, and to me, it was just funny because Brumhilga was the one that was next to me. So she's like, are you and her? I was like, no, me and Brumhilga, we're not even in the same weight class. Okay, she'd kill me if I wrestled her.
Because there's a difference between, you know, like looking and talking.
You don't have to explain yourself, though. It makes complete sense.
She sees me in class. I'm like, got this girl in a mouth. I was like, yeah. I was like, tap. Tap. She's
That's
sitting there watching
far.
Me.
See,
she's
now,
like,
see, now I'm with you, Belle.
I don't
now
like
I'm with
this.
You.
Thank
this
you. Thank you.
Yeah, now
Thank
I'm
you.
Offended. I'm offended for you.
I really appreciate that. No woman's going to be jujitsuing with my mans, okay? I don't need you rubbing your stuff on him.
Why did you talk like Hulk Hogan?
I'm making a point.
I'm making a point.
Speaking of fighting, though, did you want to talk? What did you want to talk about?
I wanted to say, speaking of fighting, you and me.
Wait.
There's something I want to debate with you.
Well, hold on. I'm not done with the fighting world, and then we'll get into that.
Okay,
debate.
We'll come back.
Ryan Garcia.
Oh shit.
Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. Yeah. Devin Haney was supposed to be on the show.
Yeah. Yep.
But because of this lounge, I wasn't able to make it. So I shout out to Devin. I love you. I pray that you have a happy and healthy fight. As for you, Ryan, as well. Ryan, I feel like, is in his own world right now. I'm not going to lie. I feel like Ryan is just kind of, like, all over the place. But there's this clip, guys. If I can't tell you how much I died.
Is it the dancing one?
Yes, bro. Where he's, like, in the Gucci. In white.
Wait, who was dancing?
I think it was a GQ. Yeah. It was a GQ pre-interview. But what they don't
show. He just looks at him and he goes... So he just dances and sings, and then it cuts to Devin Haney, and he goes, I don't know if Ryan Garcia is really taking this fight serious.
So? Wait, that was editing. That was all editing.
It wasn't real?
They weren't in the same room. I watched that interview, and the first, there's text that appears on the screen, and it says, we couldn't get them to sit in the same room, so we interviewed them separately. They cut it and edit it, so they're sitting next to each other. They're just talking to an interviewer off screen.
Hilarious.
That shit went, like, viral, but they're not even sitting next to each other. They're recorded at completely different times. Ryan's just in that room by himself, like...
But you know what's crazy is that...
But can you show me him dancing?
I literally... Yeah, I'll send it to you. I literally... that was my one question that I wrote, because when I was getting ready to do Devin Haney's episode, I said, going into other fights, usually these fights, like, are really serious. You know?
Yeah.
Lochenko was a serious fight. Like, that's a serious opponent. Going into this fight where you're seeing your opponent kind of spazzing online and saying stuff like, these kids need to be saved. And then, like, the next tweet is like, if you want a boob job and ass job, you DM me and I'll pay you. Like, it's kind of like...
He said that?
Oh, yeah. He's going off the walls. And honestly, like... I would be a little bit more worried about the guy going off the walls.
I would too. That's a wild card. That's a wild card.
Like Ryan is starting to like really show that crazy hand. And in my mind, I'm like, dude, like what if he gets crazy like head punch? You know what I mean? Like where you punch him and he just doesn't go down because he's like.
He said that he wants to bite both ears off. Mike Tyson bit one. He wants to up the ante. So I think he's going into the match going like, I'm going to do whatever I want.
That's prohibitado.
I wonder if he's like scared. Because boxing isn't like UFC. When you lose a boxing match, it's like you kind of lose the reputation.
If he didn't lead everything with God, I would think that everything he's saying is out of fear. But I think he has just some faith or something that is like unshook. And if I was Devin, I'd be a little worried.
It's an interesting fight.
Who, if you had to put your money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if I had to put my money?
Yeah.
And you can't be biased because we got Devin on the podcast before.
Well, I also know Ryan very well.
Yep.
So.
And we tried to get Ryan on this podcast too.
Yeah. I already know the answer. I'm just trying to find like a nice way of putting it. If I had to put every bit of my money on.
You had to put your girlfriend on it.
I would put money on myself. I would say Devin Haney.
Why?
Because. Watching social media takes time, bro. I know posting takes time. It takes a lot of, like, you know what I mean? I feel like this man's posting more than Adam W. And Adam W is a full-time social media star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Devin, I never hear from him. And every time I'm reaching out to his
team. That's a good point.
He's in camp and he's training and he's taking it very seriously.
Good point.
I think Devin is going to go in there and rip heads. And also, it's like a... and this is me just speaking truth. I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Of course.
But what's going to stop Ryan from saying, guys, you saw me. I was having like a thing going on with me. Like, I wasn't mentally in the right place. Now I'm going to be mentally in the right place. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
He may well not, but everybody knows that he can say that.
Mm-hmm.
He has a card to play.
So I don't know.
Well, we'll see. It'll be very interesting to watch.
I can't wait to watch that.
That's going to be.
Yeah, I think Devin Haney is going to win the fight. I do. I just do. Because I think Devin Haney is, to be honest, regardless of what his stature is, I still think he's overlooked.
Yeah.
I think he's a very, 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 very hard contender. And a lot of these boxers don't want to fight him because they know that the time might be up with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it is. I think Devin is a different type of boxer. I think he's not the social media boxer. I think Devin is the guy's like, I'm about this life.
Yeah.
And I am not just about this life. I am this life, and you're going to have to come to me if you want to be a part of this life.
Yeah, he's very dedicated.
I'm excited to see. But I will give it up for Ryan, and I'll give it up for Devin, because they're running into each other. A lot of boxers like to add their cards up, and then they'll fight a big fight. But Ryan just went from a big fight to another big fight. So regardless of how you feel
so
about
respectable.
Ryan,
so respectable.
You have to respect Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of how you feel about Ryan, you have to respect Ryan. Even when people are like, oh, he quit the last round. Shut up. You probably wouldn't even go and put on boxing gloves with headgear. And this guy's doing it in front of a stadium.
Yeah.
You can't take away the credibility of Ryan and his ethics and his work and his dedication to the sport. And if he did kind of whatever, did go into this state where he's losing it a little bit, I would aim it towards the fact that he loved this so much that he's giving it his all. So if he did lose himself in it, commendable. Like, you're literally trying so hard in this sport, you're losing pieces of yourself. Or adding.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, that's my little, like,
Fight talk. Nice.
Except for Belle. Belle has a little debate. We have a debate, and yes, we were like, we're going to bring this to the podcast to see if other people would agree or disagree.
Beef to settle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You open this conversation up.
Okay. So.
Here are the rules.
We've had this debate.
8 2-minute rounds.
We've had this debate for about a good year. And so pretty much it's about Yellowstone. And I told Georgie that I was like, I feel like ever since Yellowstone came out, it's the reason why girls have been really into the cowboy trends, the cowgirl stuff, the country vibes. It's obviously country has always been really big, but it hasn't been in style where girls literally want to wear like boots with their outfits. Yeah, they want to date like cowboys. They want to like be in the country, like all that. It's super, super in right now. And I think that it's because of the influence that Yellowstone has had. Yellowstone's really popular. Everybody loves it. They've watched it. And that's what like it's brought it back on trend. And it's because
I disagree. I think that it was already a trend, and that's why they went in that direction, because they know people like it. So they're going to create a story based upon things that people are into. I grew up in Arizona. Country and the way that country people dress has always been a thing.
And I never said it wasn't. It's always been a thing.
I know, but you made it seem like it got way more popular when Yellowstone came out.
And it did.
I don't believe that. I've never even watched an episode of Yellowstone. And a lot of people that dress like that, I'll ask them, have you watched Yellowstone? And they're like, no, I don't even know what that is.
I'm not talking about people who's like, I've always dressed like this forever. I'm saying it's now in trend. Like,
when, like people that would never be involved in that kind of aesthetic or anything or all about it.
Yes. Like now, like all the girls, like if you see, like when you look at clothing, if you look at all the new trends for clothes in like the like popular stores, it's all towards a geared towards that style. The girls, when they're going to festivals, they're wearing more of that style, and not just for Stagecoach, but for other festivals.
Even Coachella.
Coachella's been a thing.
Yeah.
Coachella, yeah. But like other like certain, you know, events or whatever. And Yellowstone brought that popularity with girls. And with like our current like trend, and that's what brought it back up.
How many seasons of Yellowstone are there? Comment. How long has it been around?
Comment. I would love to see people in the comments see where it goes, because I could be wrong or you could be wrong. Most likely wrong.
You're wrong, bro. I'm so certain about this. We've been trying to settle this, so please settle
for
this for
year?
Us. Comment down below. I know country. Listen.
What was a recent thing you said that was like
the other similar debate yesterday? He's like, oh, I want to watch Suits again. And he said that Suits started as like, oh, it's all popular again. People are watching it again since like last year.
Yeah, but Belle, why do you think they're watching Suits again?
Because of Meghan Markle.
Who?
Meghan Markle. Markle or Margle? Markle.
Baba, you don't even know how to pronounce
it. Meghan Markle.
How much influence do you think she has?
It is. Because
Suits is good again because it was already an amazing show. And when they brought it to streaming where other people could watch it and their convenience, they're like, wait a second, this show is so amazing. And it caught wildfire. This happens a lot. Like, for example, when Netflix brought Friends or HBO brought Friends, when they first brought Friends, people loved Friends. But the new generation is like, wait, what is this? And they caught fire again. When streaming services bring a new show, it could spark their own platform.
Yes.
That is why Suits did well again. Not because the Duchess.
Okay. I understand what you're saying with the platform, 100%. But Suits has been on Netflix. It's been on Netflix. No, it hasn't. Yes, it has. No, that's hasn't. Where I watched Suits years ago. Suits has been on Netflix.
Well, okay, so there's two things you got to go down. Yellowstone brought cowboys back.
Back in style, in trend. All the girls are loving it.
Okay. Or, and, Suits was brought back because of Meghan Markle. Mm-hmm. And by the way, like, no shot towards her. I like her character. Her in real life, very attention-seeking.
Yeah.
But who are we to talk? We have three microphones.
We film
and four cameras.
Don't say that. But no, it's because of the drama that went down with Meghan and William? Don't put that on that one, bro.
No, we're keeping that. Because, Belle, you can't cut that because that just proves my point that nobody knows who these people are.
Oh, so you can't cut it because it proves your point, huh?
Yes.
Oh,
it's because
I don't keep
up with them, but I know what people are keeping up with because it's all over my Explore page, E! News, and blah, 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 blah.
So, she's in the culture, bro.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. So
TikTok.
Meghan and, you know, the Duchess and the Prince, them, like, the whole drama of them leaving England and them leaving and doing all this stuff, and they're talking all the drama. People won't know what's going on. So what are they going to do?
I want to see her
when she was an actress.
Have you seen the South Park episode of them? They're like, leave us alone. We just want privacy. And then they're just like looking for attention all the time. Bro. And then everybody starts ignoring them, and they're just like looking out their window. They're like, leave us alone. And they're like, bro, it's such a funny episode.
Privacy. That was a really funny
episode. I've been watching Succession. Highly recommend it.
What is that?
Succession.
Succession?
It's about a really, really wealthy and successful family in New York. And I just found out that it's loosely based on the family who started Fox News.
Really?
And it's fascinating, bro. It's like kind of shot like The Office, like documentary vibes, where there's just random zooms and like things will go out of focus and stuff. Like it feels documentary, but it's fascinating.
It's
a family that like will step, if you're my sister, I will step on your head to go higher in a heartbeat.
Oh, okay.
And you'll do the same to me. And that's our father. I want his position. I will kill you to get it. But at the same, it's just like so fascinating. Me and my girl are on season two, and it's really good.
Because we watched
Breaking Bad for like the second time and like loved it. And then we kept seeing Succession pop up on these like top five shows of all time, and I would highly recommend it.
Damn. Okay.
Is it fun to watch? Is it like
it's kind of like The Bear, where it's like stressful to watch.
I watched The Bear once and like I had to turn it off. It gave me such anxiety.
It's
literally, don't even listen to George.
No, because
The Bear's
okay,
so good.
By the way,
the
hold on. I'm amazing. Not taking away their genius.
Yes.
I'm just saying for
but that's
me,
not how you unwind. That's not how you.
Bro, I turned on The Bear. The first episode, they're screaming at each other so much. I got so anxious. I was like, bro, I deal with this in my real life. This is how my family talks, Doc. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to sit here and watch another family do this.
The first episode, they throw you into the middle of it. And then you get to know people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like, it's definitely an artistic choice they made to throw you into the middle. It's like Saving Private Ryan. We're going to drop you off in Normandy Beach, and you're going to just be in the chaos of it. And then once you see that, then we're going to start showing you the humanistic sides of people. Then you're going to grow attached to them. But if this isn't for you, then turn it off. We don't blame you. But this is what it's about. You know what I mean?
Nah, I just, when I was a kid, my mom used to always tell me, go watch something funny. Because like it brightens your day. Like when I go to bed, I don't want to go to bed right after watching a brother try to kill his sister to get a piece of land that his father had. It's not. You are who you hang out with, and you're choosing to have those type of environments like programmed in you. Like I don't want to learn these habits. And a lot of people are like, you can't control yourself. No, I think you subliminally take this onto you. So like, if I'm going to watch something, I want to have a good takeaway from it. I want to either laugh or learn something that's good. Now, mind you, that doesn't mean I only watch those things. I'm just saying I'm very, very particular what I put into my brain.
I love being exposed to things that I don't relate to at all. And I never will. And I can separate myself from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I love being... It's like going to a museum and looking at art and being like, I don't even know how to begin to paint this, but I can appreciate it for what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I find it funny in the same podcast, they're like, let me get this straight. You don't watch Succession, but you want to watch a guy ground and pound somebody into the ground? Well, it's because I'm like, you know what I mean?
That's literally real life.
It's real life, yeah.
But yeah, the shows do get you in such an emotional place. And I know girls will know what I'm talking about when I say this, like Grey's Anatomy. Like, us girls really put ourselves through the ringer with Grey's Anatomy because it just...
No, I did that with Vampire Diaries. It takes over your...
No, Georgie.
No, bro. When Elena couldn't choose between Stefan or Damon, that put me in a situation.
This is too far.
Bro.
This is too far.
No, no. It's real. This is real stuff, okay? Because...
No, Grey's Anatomy, you're like, you feel it in your... Like, I just watched a TikTok of this.
Elena lost everybody.
Yeah, so did Meredith. So did Meredith.
Yeah.
And it's worse. I just watched this
TikTok.
Elena
just wants to be loved.
Wait.
And feel like the person that she loves doesn't get ripped away from her. And maybe she needs...
Literally the same thing as Meredith.
Maybe she needs somebody who's sensitive, that used pomade, slicks his hair up, been around for a couple centuries, but will love you forever. Or she needs that bad boy, that I will burn down this whole house as long as it doesn't have you in it.
No.
Wow.
I,
fall's coming. Oh, I'm gonna watch Vampire Diaries.
Good. We were supposed to do that this fall.
I always watch Vampire Diaries up until a certain season and quit. I don't know how. I don't know how it ends.
It's like season six, I think, around when we stop. But anyways, I saw this TikTok and it was this woman who's probably like in her 30s and she's showing her daughter Grey's Anatomy for the first time, which like I cannot wait to do that when I have kids. Like show them my favorite TV shows. Oh my gosh, her daughter's like a teenager and she gets this one part where. And Grey's Anatomy, whatever. And the daughter is bawling her eyes out, hyperventilating. And she's like, no, why would you do? And it's like, dude, that is what Grey's Anatomy makes you feel like. You cry about it for so long afterwards.
But that must be a cool feeling to like, think about it. Like if you have a kid, you get to watch them love what you love. That's kind of
crazy. And see their reaction.
Or they don't like it.
Like, our daughter would be watching Grey's Anatomy with you. And then our son would be mispronouncing UFC fighter names in the front row.
Filming himself.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Before we take off, I do want to talk about something. Marmari, the bishop, was attacked by a man with a knife.
Who is he, just for some context?
I actually did an interview
With Patrick Bet-David, right?
On the Patrick Bet-David episode. And... I wanted to bring this up. I reached out immediately to their team. Thank God. He's good. This man was attacked by another individual with a knife, and the blade wouldn't come out fully. Thank God. He would not be here if that blade would have came out fully. But the man that was attacked, the bishop, turned over and immediately put his hand over the child's head and started praying on the man that just tried to kill him. Doesn't stomp on him, doesn't punch him, doesn't say, grab the knife, give me the knife. Immediately turns and puts his hand on him and starts praying. I want that type of peace, bro.
That's
the manliest man I've ever met in my life.
It's like
transcendental. No. I got to be on that level. And I pray that one day I could be at that level where I could see anybody. Because think about it, bro. We go, oh, look what he did to me at work. Or we blah, blah, blah. Or we're in
traffic.
Somebody
cuts you off. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, I'm going to beat the brakes off of this guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like we let such absolute nothingness get in the way of our peace and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready to risk it immediately from a disagreement. This man's life was in jeopardy, and it never even was a first, second, third, or fifth thought. His first thought was, this man obviously has something wrong with him where he feels like he needs to do this. I pray for him and his family. That is a true man. I just wanted to take a second to say, thank God he's safe. I can't wait to see what he's going to do now. Mm-hmm. And then one more thing I wanted to say, just to wrap up in a faith type of way. The eclipse got to me, bro. Reading, seeing, watching where the war is going, hearing all these Christians speak about the end times and all that stuff, it got to me for a little bit. And I told Belle, I go, Belle, this is getting to me. It was keeping me up at night. It was shaking me up. I was thinking, is it time? Did I not do things? Blah, blah, blah. And it put me in a state of complete fear and shock. And I told God, I go, let me go through this. I want to go through this pain where my stomach hurts and I'm scared that I might not be able to marry her. What's going to happen during the war? Is this eclipse a punishment of God? And I'm reading and I'm seeing all this and I'm like, I'm going to feel this fully because I know there's so many out there that feel this. And I pray that God will give me the answer so that way I never fall through this trap again. And I have the answer. The answer is this. And by the way, how I got that answer was I fasted. I told you guys in the past episode I was going through things. And I was going through things. I was going through things I won't even speak about on camera. But how I got out of it was fasting. And I'm not trying to come out here to brag because it does say in the gospel that when you fast, wash your face, anoint your head, so that way other people don't know you're fasting. I didn't tell people when I was fasting, but I want to tell you the outcome and why it's so important to fast. One, we already read Bibles that take away fasting from Bibles. So that should show you that the enemy doesn't want you to fast. Two, when Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, why don't your disciples fast? Why don't they fast? He said to him, because they're with me. When I'm gone, they'll fast, indicating that when you feel far away from Jesus Christ, when you're alone in your thoughts and you're like, why do I feel like he's not with me? I'm not saying that he's not with you, but if you want to draw him spiritually closer to you, fast. And so while I fasted, I got a little nugget of wisdom that I want to share with you guys. And I'm going to use myself as an example. The reason why the eclipse got to me is because the devil outwised me to the gospel. When Jesus and the devil were in their only match in the gospel, the way that they fought each other was by the word. The devil would say, hey, you know, this is going to happen. And Jesus says, no, because it is written this. And then the devil said one more thing. And he says, no, it is written this. And then I realized the devil tried to use this trick. He goes, well, it also is written this. And then Jesus says, no, because it is written this. So what I saw the battle was, who knew the gospel more? If I would have known Jesus Christ more, I would have been able to see these signs and these cowards trying to use fear. I would have been like, no, because it is written, dot, 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 dot. When I see something, no, it is written, dot, 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 dot. If you are fearful and you're a Christian, that means you haven't filled yourself up with faith. Fast and get closer to Christ. Those same thoughts that I had when I was scared, when I was fasting, I had no fear in them. Because when I am with Jesus Christ, I am in peace. He used to walk into rooms and say, Shalom, peace be with you, because he's with them. You could be losing your job and losing your home and losing your car and losing your mind. But you bring Jesus with you, you find peace and rest. And when you're comfortable, you can make the smarter move. All this to say this, the devil knows Jesus Christ better than you, and he's going to use that as a weapon. If you are claiming that you know Jesus Christ and you are walking as a Christian, you are putting a target on you, and they're going to light you up, and they're going to put your wisdom to the test. That's why Jesus says, I came here to give you a sword. And he also says that life and death begins on the tongue. Be careful what you're watching and you're absorbing. If you're watching something that scares you, instead of sharing it with all of your friends and family immediately, pause it, pray about it, fast about it, meditate on it, and then go. And then the last thing I want to say is this. This changed my life. I worry a lot. I worry a lot. Mm-hmm. These two are my example. I worry because I see patterns. And so I can see repetition in humans and in actions and in consequences. So I try my best to either make other people's around me decisions. And then I start realizing I cannot control everything. I have to use faith. But somebody changed my life when they said this. They go, how much do you meditate on the word of God? I go, oh, I'm telling you a lot. He goes, how much do you worry? And I spill that out of my mouth. I go, 10 times more. He goes, then realize this. When you have faith, you walk with Jesus Christ. When you worry, you worship the devil. He goes, you just told me you worship Satan more than you worship God. And it put me in a place where now when I get scared, I literally pause. If I have to separate myself, I will. And I say, God, give me faith here. Do not let me worship Satan. Now I walk around things that if it is my time, say it is, God forbid, the end of times, this is the world war, whatever, bro. I know where I'm going. I know who my God is. I see that he tells me that there's going to be signs of wars and I shouldn't worry. I read, I know my God now. When I am in fear, I have to write it 100 times until I understand it. When I am in fear, it's because I am not filling myself up with the Holy Spirit. I am filling myself up with bull crap. And that's why I'm running off of crap. Whew, sorry.
Beautiful.
As I sometimes don't know how to say them, but I had to say this. And we'll end it in a non-gospel way. I just wanted to say something else. There was some other war going on. J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar.
Oh my God. You mean Drake and Kendrick?
Drake, Kendrick,
Cole.
That's
the big
crazy.
Three.
The big three.
But it's just right? Big me, says Dude, Kendrick.
A lot of people are upset with J. Cole because he dropped this crazy hit called 7 Minutes.
I don't know if it was a crazy hit.
You're wild.
I wouldn't call that a crazy
bro,
hit.
Bro, he said, I'm powered up. That shit would be like swat in a fly, bro. Mm-hmm. His bars that he had on that.
He apologized, bro.
He apologized. But check this out. People clowned on him for that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to drop a bar and then you're going to take it back? Did you hear how he apologized and how he took it back? When I saw J. Cole on stage being like, he's talking to his audience as if they're part of his family. And he's saying, no, we respect Kendrick. He goes, but that behavior had nothing to do with Kendrick. That behavior was the old me. And I don't want to be a part of the old me because I'm in growth. And I will take that back and apologize because that's not the type of person I want to become or want to teach men to become. When he took that back, I immediately saw him greater than every rapper. Because he's not doing this for money. He's not doing this for fame. He already knows what he has. And he's trying to build his character with it.
Yeah.
That is an artist. Somebody who's growing with you. If he creates a piece of art that he's ashamed of, I thought it would be more of a coward move for you to just be like, well, I'm going to let it go because I don't want people to think that I would take back something. It's harder for you to take back something like that than it is to just let it go. But he stood on his character and he said, I'd rather you hate me for who I truly am than love me for what I don't want to be.
That's real.
J. Cole, you're a real one for that. Come on the show. But other than that, I really did like this episode. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Don't forget, guys, before you leave, theheartofdavid.co. We have the new drop. So if you haven't got your guys' apparel, please do. I know a lot of people that got it have messaged me and they really like the quality of it. And we're going to keep giving you guys that quality. I love you guys. I'll see you guys next week. I'm not going to tell you the guest. It's going to be a surprise. I'm going to keep you guys on your toes this time. Goodbye.